You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.
You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at WeAreLibertarians.com.
Welcome to the Balls Hog of Liberty podcast. This is episode number 277 of the Centralized Favorite Podcast. I'm Jeremiah Morrill, your host today. Producer Zach Burcham is over yonder playing co-hosting duties. I think Dakota Davis might be actually joining us today. We don't know. He's been out saving the world, keeping the electricity on. We did Patreon solo. We've exchanged some text messages, and I think he's getting himself reset and coming up, but if that doesn't work out, then we'll manage without. But hopefully we'll have him. Just did a nice 15-20 minutes on Patreon. We observed an anniversary, Zachary, of the very unfortunate sinking of Dakota's favorite ship. We talked a little bit about the old Jeff Saturday story, and you know, we're Hoosiers, so we had to talk about the weather too.
Yep, so much reverence given for the anniversary. Really, it's worth the money to pay for the Patreon just to see that.
This show is about our lives in rural Indiana. We're here to push your boundaries and make you think as individuals. Sometimes we'll provoke you. Other times we'll make you laugh. But hopefully you'll always learn something new. Got to say thank you to the patrons that do make this whole show happen each and every week. They support us each and every month. These folks give at least $50 or more a month to make the show exist. And they are Christy Avery, Jonathan Phillips, and Anthony Meyer. And, of course, we have to say thank you to Wylands Flowers, The Slick Pickle, and Big Bounce Inflatables for their support throughout the entire candidate series. Zach, what else do we have to do? You got some merch. I think we're still selling merch now.
Yeah, I'm getting ready to – I had to look up to drop the link in the – where did my – yeah, there we go. I had to find the folder. About to drop the link in the chat for the link tree. You can find all the handy links for the Boss Hog of Liberty there. So as I can get it. Usually I don't have to do this while I'm on camera. Boom. Chat. So yeah, check out the, I think there's still a mug in there. There might still be some mask and neck. I did notice that Race Fans, the IMS online kind of sale is on, and the masks are down to 95 cents. Up, down from $10.
So you can get your commemorative mask. We did, it is my favorite. I miss the IMS sale, being able to go rummaging through the bins.
Yeah.
It was the pagoda.
It was like Nordstrom Rack, but for race fans.
But I do enjoy shopping from the comfort of my own home. Today, Sarah spent, on discounted merchandise. The final total was under $200, but it wasn't real far under $200.
What was the shipping though?
It's like $16 or something to ship it.
It's absurd. They just need to shove. I'm like, not that I'm supportive of giving Jeff Bezos any more money, but just turn it into an Amazon store and shove it into their warehouse and Prime ship it for free. But like $15 shipping in 2022 is absurd.
When you're paying $5 a t-shirt, it's fine. Whatever. It's cool because you get some old school stuff or some things that you know are never coming back. Drivers that may never run an Indy car again, all that stuff. That's always fun to have. Ooh, hang on. Very exciting. Very exciting. I got an email, Zach. I got an email from General Motors. We ordered our truck from John Phillips. This is either going to be great news or it's going to be soul-crushing news. Dear Morrill, here is the current status. It's the exact same status that I've had before. They sent me an email 14 days after I had already gotten the status that the dealer has submitted my order, but it's not been officially accepted by General Motors. Wah, wah, wah. Son of a bitch.
It's not 8 o'clock yet.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Kirsten.
Son of a gun. Son of a gun.
Every time I hear "son of a gun," thing from STP.
That was a mid-90s NASCAR deal. All right. You want to talk some? Want to talk some election results, Zachary?
Yeah, if we have to.
It was an interesting night. This has been our life for weeks, months on this show.
Yeah,
talking through, discussing, following races. We have folks from all over the country that have been living vicariously through this show, through the network, and they care. So here's the spoiler. We're told by Miss K. Kronk that she has the earbuds in, so we're good. The kids didn't hear the word. We're safe. Team Elephant had a very good night in Indiana, yeah, particularly in Henry County. So if you heard a candidate that was on that was a Republican, they pretty much won. We never had Greg Pence on, but he won. Corey Criswell, we had Nan Polk on. Corey won. Jeff Raitz defeated Ron, who was running for senator.
Yep.
Ron Spitfire. So that one didn't work out for him. John Sproles wound up winning the race for Henry County Sheriff. Mike Regner was the winner in the County Council District 2 race. And Shannon Tom won the County Council District 3 race. And then Joe Wiley won the Mr. Popular Award. He got the most votes of any candidate in Henry County.
I could see that.
Who was in a contested race.
I would have voted for Joe in multiple races had he chosen to file for multiple races.
How many jobs can Joe do? That's what Zach wants to know.
You know, I bet we would be shocked by the number of jobs Joe could do. I bet it'd be pretty impressive.
And the really good news is that Mike Broyles is watching, and he says the sound actually is good, which is a massive success. Here's the thing. The quarrel, and I think the theme of the conversation today, Zach, is going to be these races didn't feel very competitive. And we kind of thought there were a few that would have been competitive.
Yeah.
We're going to be a little more competitive. When the actual results came in, and I've got them on the old tablet here, and you can...
It was roughly in the 70% range to a 30% range in a lot of the races.
Yeah. So, as an example, Diego Morales, who competed against Jeff Moore and Destiny Wells. So Jeff Moore was a candidate on the show. In Henry County, Jeff picked up 10% of the vote. Destiny had 29% of the vote, and Diego Morales had 62%. So 13,000 votes cast, 62% went to Diego Morales, who was, by almost any, imagination, a very flawed candidate with
unfit for office. Yes. Let's be honest. He's unfit for the office that he was seeking.
So Diego Morales picked up 8,200 votes in Henry County. There were 5,600 straight ticket votes that were cast. So in Indiana, we've talked about this since 2018, we've been discussing straight ticket voting. And since that time, there have been some efforts for Indiana to remove straight ticket voting, but it has not gotten through the legislature. So 5,600 people voted straight ticket, 4,300 of them. So essentially half of the people that voted for Diego Morales voted straight ticket. 77% of the straight ticket votes cast in Henry County this year were for the GOP side. 22% were for the Democratic side, and there weren't a whole lot of Libertarians on the ballot, but a little less than 1% of the votes went Libertarian. So there were folks that split the ballot for sure, that split their ticket, and you know, you saw Jeff Moore, who picked up almost 10% of the vote in the state, in the county rather. But hardly anybody voted straight ticket Libertarian. So there were some people that split.
It was like 36, 30. It was in the 30s, right? Straight ticket Libertarian.
Yeah, 35 voters.
Yeah. I thought it was like.
Yeah, he had 30. There were 35 straight ticket voters, but he actually got 1,200 votes. Corey Criswell won pretty significantly, 72% to 28% in Henry County with Nan Polk there in second. Couple of other interesting races here. We had kind of talked last week about the possible upset for, you know, where we thought one could come from.
Yeah.
And the seat that Chad Malicote is leaving. Mike Regner picked that up with 62% of the vote over Melanie Wright's 37%. So 1,470 versus 900. What we don't have is we don't have a precinct by precinct TikTok of where they went yet. That's not released by the county. At some point we will have it, but we just don't have it yet. That strong turnout or that strong percentage of straight ticket for the GOP really, really did make a difference there. And then there's actually a township trustee race that we're going to get into a little bit later, but Republican Travis Lyle beat Ashley Huffman 3,300 votes to 2,400 votes. So 57-42. In historically, this has been a very Democrat strong township.
Yeah.
So the center of Henry County is Henry Township. And there were 5,500 votes, 5,700 votes cast there. And that's generally, you know, the heart of UAW community. It's not showing that way right now. So here's let's dig a little further into the straight ticket thing, because this is the biggest takeaway, I think, of the entire Elections Act. And I'm talking a lot. I'll let you jump in whenever you want to.
Yeah.
But historically, 2010, 2011, 2012, all the way through, it was in the 30s. 2010, 37% of the votes cast in the county were 30, you know, were straight ticket. 38% in 2016, 37% 2014, 36% 2012. Just banging along that same number. Boom, 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 boom. Always the same. 2018 was the year that we got the new voting equipment.
Yeah, with the,
and
the print your receipt out.
And it would print your receipt. But it was, you know, we talked about this last week, and we tried to warn folks with, when Forrest Plank was here, saying, hey, this machine gives you an error message. So in 2018, we went from 38% to 56% of the people voted straight ticket. And it got a little bit better. I think this show has complained and word has gotten out that you don't have to straight ticket vote, but it still was 40% and 41%. So in 2020, 40% of the people and 41% on Tuesday voted straight ticket. So 4 out of 10, it had never been that high. It had never been to 4 out of 10. It was nearly 6 out of 10 in 2018, but 4 out of 10 people went in and punched that. And it had never been that high in the community.
It did seem, and I wish I would have, I took a picture of that screen, the error screen. And it was the same-ish screen because there's another race that I did not vote for. And it was the only one on its page. I think that maybe it was a little bit less screaming in your face this time, maybe. Than it had been in the past. It still was an error screen. I think it was an error, and then there's something else below that. I think there was an error. It said you have left, you have undervoted or something like that. And then below it was a message that says, oh, if you want to proceed, they'll hit next or whatever. I can't remember if it did that before, because I think to remember it like really screamed at you the first year or two. I took a picture of that screen. Then oddly, though, there was a page later in the voting that explained that you didn't have to vote straight ticket. I think you even explained that there were still races you needed to vote for, but that was like at the end of your ballot, like after you'd hit submit.
Yeah. There's one more final warning of you've undervoted some of these. So it gives you multiple flicks to go back.
But the one explanation was like, I'm done already. Like you should have told me that. You should have told me that the first screen, but no, I'll say this. I had a Republican judge who took me in my ballot and fed him into the machine. And she explained to me, first thing you're going to see is straight ticket. You don't have to vote straight ticket if you don't want to. Vote, hit next. It'll give you an error. So she did explain to me that this is going to happen. If you don't want to vote straight ticket, just keep hitting next and it'll get to you to your ballot.
In spite of that, it doesn't always work that way.
No.
Right. And it's whether people get coached through it or not, if that box is there and it's going to give you an error, it's just human tendencies that you're going to go back and make a selection.
Yeah.
And then what happens is you make that selection on page one, and then, man, they just get tired. That voter gets tired.
It was a long ballot.
By the time you get to the end of that ballot, you're just like, oh, the hell with this.
I'll be honest.
My stuff's filled in. I'm not making any changes.
Even being involved with this show, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't remember how many pages it was. It was a lot. You're like, it took a while to get to like, you think, oh, the sheriff's, it took a while to get to the sheriff's race. Like the sheriff's race, you'd think, oh, that's an important race in Henry County, but that's after the U.S. representative race and the state rep race. And then there's always
you had a state treasurer, you had a state auditor, yeah. you had a state, oh. you had a state secretary of state.
Yeah, so many, many unopposed races in Henry County too. Yeah, there's a lot of, I'm trying to think. Recorder, Lisa Loveless is
yep. right. She was prosecutor, judges.
yeah, it was like yeah. So I could kind of see being like, dang, I'm kind of tired. Like it's been. I was wrestling with a 6 year old while I was voting too, who was trying to vote for people I didn't want to vote for. he was trying to hijack my vote.
He didn't try. They didn't let him. They didn't give him a ballot. The election felt secure.
The election, I did give him my sticker, but no, they did not give him a ballot. I could have used like a little pin to keep him in while I voted because it was a bit like he was finding buttons on the side of the machine. oh, look, there's buttons over here. I'm like, no, stop hitting buttons. But I got everything done and he didn't successfully vote for anybody that I wasn't okay with him voting for.
So the other takeaway is that voter turnout went down significantly.
It was abysmal.
And I didn't realize this until I was looking at the numbers today. I voted in the 6 o'clock hour, maybe seven, maybe it was 7:30 in the morning. Yeah, it was probably about 7 o'clock. So I didn't have any line. It felt easy. I know when I went to vote 4 years ago, I did stand in a line. So maybe I should have felt this in my soul, but I didn't. 2018, we had a 52% voter turnout. Henry County, by the way, is remarkably consistent. I pulled the data for every general election that there was somebody from Congress on the ballot. So every 2 years, we're not counting yeah. municipal elections because they're not that. But basically, we have had a population that has registered voters within 1,000 people for the last 12 years. From 2010 until now, it's always been between 30 and 31,000 people are registered voters. I had to go all the way back to get to a number that was as low as now. To 2014 to have a 35% voter turnout. Presidential years are obviously better, right? We have yeah. people that care and there's reasons for it. But 43% of the people showed up this time. 4 years ago, it was 52%. Now obviously there were wind and whatever and solar was on the ballot in very many ways and it drove people out. But it's a massive drop. And this almost 70% of the people voted 2 years ago. That was an insane number.
I guess it would have been strong just based on the number of signs. Because like a couple of the races, lots of signs out. And so I would have guessed it would have been a little bit better than that based on that. But then like my neighborhood, I had a couple signs in my front yard. I was the only person in my neighborhood for a block in any direction that had any political signs in the front yard. So
on my street, there were quite a few in the primary, but then in the general election, one school board member had two, and then I had a couple of high level signs.
Yeah.
But that was it. I mean, it was, I don't know, it felt quieter on my street. So yeah. maybe that's an indicator of the involvement and people just not being that, not caring. Here's my contention. I don't know that we need to have a political party assigned to the person that's going to be working at any role in our county courthouse or city hall or township yeah. government or Middletown or Knightstown town council.
I don't think it doesn't. What you figure out is like there's these, everybody kind of likes their camp and that's a lot like big national topics and stuff. But for the most part, local races, they're running an office. They're going to have to run the office a certain way. And if they run it differently, like you heard for all the riffraff, whatever, the two sheriff's races, they had two very fundamentally different ways of running their offices that they wanted to, but neither one of them were in a way that you would label Democrat or Republican. It was philosophies of law enforcement. So yeah, that's a race that doesn't need it. And most of the other ones don't need it either. Yeah, it's one of those things. And it's some, yeah, to get the tribalism out of it. Because I know somebody ran for in a primary. Chris Newkirk ran for a race and he did some hopping of parties and he had a guy tell him he's like, well, you have my vote till you switch to Democrat. When you switch to Democrat, I can't vote for you. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, I can't vote for a Democrat. And so for county commissioner, that's probably not going to matter. So yeah, I agree that yes, I like the idea of either one, just making nonpartisan or at least I like the idea and, one of your neighbors brought up in a Facebook discussion as well. Take the political parties off the ballot, at least. So then people just have to pick people, which is what you're voting for, not parties. But I agree. The local races, local offices, they're what they're working with is almost nothing to do with which the same thing that like Greg Pence is running with.
So here's the major rub in the controversy. And if you watched Facebook, you saw that this kind of went around town on Tuesday and into Wednesday. And here we are on Thursday, and there's still some concern. We did not cover the township trustee race because I did not want to have to subject this audience to, well, if we cover one township office race, yeah, then we got to cover all of, there's 12 townships in the county, in Henry County.
How many of those township offices that had nobody running for them?
Oh, there, you could have,
there was like four or five.
There were a number of, I don't know if there were any township trustee
offices,
but there were some township board seats where there were definitely under three people, and they elect three people to a board. So if somebody, you know, if you lived out in, say Stony Creek Township, I know for sure that you could have easily put your name on the ballot in Stony Creek, and you would have won, and you'd have an office now. And it, you know, the crazy thing is that if nobody runs, you're stuck. If nobody runs to replace you, you are still, you are trapped.
You can't leave.
You would have to resign, but you are automatically reelected. So you're just there in perpetuity until if you're on a town board and nobody does whatever, you're stuck. You're automatically still there. And then if there isn't, and then if it's a mid year, then the commissioners get to replace somebody.
That's fascinating. So you just have somebody just gets trapped.
You're just perpetually there. All right. So this township trustee race, Ashley Huffman and Travis Lyle, were the two. And there was very little campaigning that happened. There were a few races that were just, you could say that they were the generic Republican is what happened. I think I saw one Travis Lyle sign. Never saw an ad, never saw a Facebook post, never saw anything that really would have garnered 3,008 votes. I saw a handful of signs from Ashley Huffman, but there was no door knocking, Zach. Nobody knocked on my door and said, hey, will you vote for me?
No, I never had. I had Corey Criswell came by my house during the primary and stopped by. But after that, I never had anything stuck in my door. I never had, no signs of anybody walking the neighborhood.
Primary, there were a lot of folks that were out.
Yeah.
So, by the way, the township trustee has a budget. 2021, the Henry Township trustee had a budget of $900,000. Here's the rub. Travis Lyle has, in the past, been convicted of a few crimes. And it's all on, a simple My Case search in Indiana pulls it up. And you can see that there are previous, and they're expunged, so this makes it legal in Indiana. Because if you're a convicted felon, the only thing you're allowed to run for if it's not expunged is Congress. So you can have a felon in Congress, but you're not supposed to really have one anywhere else.
That's hilarious, by the way. that's how highly we think of Congress. You can be a felon and be in Congress.
So Travis Lyle has had convictions and has done some prison time. And he's good with the state of Indiana, right? He got on the ballot. He's had it expunged. So he's done the things that need to be done to be legal. But it's a question of judgment. And, you know, did you get the word out? I honestly, this seat has been held by Nancy Webb for many, many years. This is the one that shocked me.
Yeah.
That it flipped from and this is where I look at Henry County politics and go, man, there's maybe been a very real change.
Yeah.
As we talked 4 years ago, how hard Chad Malicote had to run to win his seat in Henry Township on the county council, and he won by 200 votes. That was all. Now here we are 4 years later, and it's almost 1,000 vote difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of, that was the one I had kind of a snarky, not super happy post with the results on Tuesday. And some people probably would have guessed what races I was talking about, and you probably would have been wrong because a lot of them I kind of knew foregone conclusion what the results were going to be. That was one of those races that I was shocked because I believe that Ashley was on the board, on the township board, opened endorsement from Nancy months ago. I think it maybe even in the primary, an open endorsement from Nancy, who has done, I haven't seen, the only person I've ever seen complain about the job she did was a political opponent that wasn't happy about how well she did her job in such a way that he thought that she was being political and doing her job in how she handles fire protection. So what's one of her big deals is maintaining fire protection for the areas outside Newcastle, but inside her township. Yeah, that was the one that I went to bed thinking, this is kind of bizarre. That one in the Secretary of State race is a similar situation, but on a state level where, I mean, he's being actively investigated for voter fraud.
Yeah. So Diego Morales in the last week, it came out and there was a big Indie Star display. And we talked about it last week on the show on episode 276 that Morales voted in.
He has a property.
He owns property in Lawrence, so in Marion County.
And he's claiming his homestead tax exemption on that property.
And claimed his homestead extension, but he voted at least two times in Hendricks County when he was seeking a seat in Congress representing Hendricks County, the seat that ultimately Jim Barrett has. Diego ran over there, lost. Friend of the show, James Neese, also was on the ballot, and he and Diego both lost that race. But going back to that time, Diego Morales still owned his house over here. So all of these allegations, sexual concerns, getting fired from the office multiple times, all this litany of questionable military service, all of these things, still swept through, no problem at all.
Yeah. So those are the two offices. I was kind of like, with the straight ticket part, it's like, did people honestly, and part of it too is I just think some people just don't pay attention. Not just like us, but like the paper or something like that. Just people that have a very clear, very obvious issue that you think would make them potentially not the best person to put into office compared to their opponent. Not even how they're going to run the office necessarily, but like just fundamental fit for office. And then they just get voted through and you're like, oh, this is, it was shocking. That was the one that kind of, if there was one that kind of kept me from going to bed that night a little bit for a minute or two, that was the race, was that township trustee's office.
So here's the rub in my concern for the future of folks putting their name on the ballot. We very much are thankful to the people that give us something to talk about, that give us a reason to vote, that give us a reason to pretend like we have a democracy. And at the local level, we do.
Yeah.
But when you look at the straight ticket voting that's there, in 2014, 64% of people turned out and they voted straight ticket Republican. We have now gotten to the point, and once again, it's not necessarily, voting for Todd Young, voting for Greg Pence. That's one category of, these are federal Republican policies. Yeah. Doesn't necessarily mean the ideas of a Republican in Shelby County are different than the ideas of a Republican in Henry County versus a Republican in Marion County, right? So that team doesn't mean that you're voting for the same ideals or same beliefs. We have gone from, in recent years, just 8 years ago, 52% of the people that pulled a straight ticket, my screen jumped on me, Zach. 2012, 52% of people voted straight ticket Republican. That was it. It has grown now to 76% in 2020 and 77% in 2022, 70% in 2018. So 7 out of 10 people that pulled a straight ticket ballot in 2018 automatically jumped in that Republican column. It went up to 78% in 2022. What that does is it says to anybody that is either in bad graces because they wanted to vote for Barack Obama or somebody else in the Democrat primary years ago and they've continued to pull a Democrat ballot that's not eligible to run, or says, hey, I'm not a Democrat or I'm a Republican. I'm not a Republican, but I still want to be involved in this community. It says, I'm boxing you out. You can't run for office. You can't be a part of the process. We have great minds, great independent thinkers that would be very good for the conversation, but they're not Republicans. Yeah. So we shortchange ourselves of candidates in this community by saying the only people we're going to put on the ballot that we could possibly vote for have to have an R next to their name.
Yeah.
For offices that have nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Right. The only nonpartisan office is school board. Other than that, you have to say what office you're in. And I know how hard the Democrats worked in Henry County this year, and I know how hard the Libertarians worked in 2018 and 2019 to get qualified candidates on the ballot. And it sucks the abs. It's like getting punched in the nose, kicked in the teeth, and then you are just, you are sunk.
Yeah. I mean, and not to knock anybody, but like in the case of like the local county council race, Mike Regner got tapped very late in just to come in because of Chad Malicote deciding I'm not going to run. Like, what was like a week or two before the deadline to file. And then Melanie is been involved for a couple of years, comes in, she rolls in everywhere with binders. In a town that a couple of years ago was like 100% Democrat, can't, and she had some area that was outside of town as well, loses that race. And it's just like the Republicans literally, for lack of a better term, just threw a guy on the ballot at the last minute. And he won.
So
threw a guy on the ballot. And nothing against him or his position or anything. I'm not saying anything bad about Mike. He was a nice guy on the show. But they literally just pulled a guy out and just stuck like a warm body in the seat.
In 2014, I was that warm body for County Council District 1. Dick Bauslog was, you know, had been in
institution.
He had been there since the 1970s. And I said, I want to give the voters a choice. I'll throw my name on the ballot just so that there's something to vote for and we can have a conversation. I showed up at the forums and that was about it. I didn't really spend any money, didn't raise any money. I was what you call a paper candidate. I got like, you know, 18% of the vote. Not a huge number, but in a two-way race, it was fine, whatever. Mike essentially ran as a paper candidate and won. And I think Travis Lyle did as well. And it's because of that GOP number. So what this tells us is all you have to do is be a paper candidate Republican and you're going to carry on. You're going to do just fine. And what that does, if you are not from the Republican Party, if you are not comfortable with maybe some things that are going on at the national level, or you just will not run as a Republican, or you know, maybe you forgot to file, you didn't get involved until later in the process, whatever it is, there is no path for anybody other than somebody that's in that party to serve. And that's bad for democracy.
Yeah.
And the quality of candidates that you're going to see because of damn near 80% of the people that pull a ballot that vote straight ticket, you're down by that already. Good people aren't going to run. They're going to say Tom McDermott ran for U.S. Senate, right? He, in his concession speech, said he wasted 14 months of his life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Guy running for U.S. Congress, mayor of Hammond, Indiana, and he says, I wasted 14 months of my life. I'm telling you that it is damn hard to raise the money to run a campaign. And when you know, you just know that it's a suicide mission to get into it, man, Zach, if I wanted to run again and I'm like, you know, I need to ask my friends for money. And Zach, I need $500 to be able to run for this office again so that I can buy signs, so that I can get door knocking materials, so we can have t-shirts for volunteers. Can you give me $100 towards that? I know I'm lighting your money on fire.
Yeah.
And that's bad for the community.
Yeah. I mean, And locally, most of the Republican people after the primary were just paper. They didn't do anything. Like I didn't see, like after the primary, just that turned into like, we had a very, the race for the state
District
house.
54
representative. Yeah. That was a primary. Was it like all over the place? There was like eight candidates involved and, got almost all of them through this. I mean, we'll say this. The guy that won that primary didn't come on the show. He did some campaign, but didn't do any, like, not that I know of, he didn't do any public forums or anything leading up to that race. And then didn't do anything after that either. Once he got the primary, he's just like, I'm done. Because it's the same thing that our congressman does too. Like, they can't do anything. They don't think that they can help themselves by talking, but they know that they just sit there and just, they got the R next to their name. They're good.
It's not good for the community.
No,
that's a concern I have. And that you are, it is so hard on a county chairperson to recruit candidates. Even Todd Hyday, the Henry County GOP chair, he has a hard time recruiting candidates, right? I mean, there was not a full slate of Republicans until the very last minute, for some of these seats. It's tough work. And If you know, if you're the county Democrat chairperson or the county Libertarian chairperson, getting a candidate to run is almost impossible. at this point. And when you've got the data and you look at it and you say, it's going to be, you know, in 2 years, I don't know who the hell's going to run. The county council is going to have a hell of a time finding people to run.
Yeah.
You got two county commissioner seats and two county council seats. I don't know what we're going to have to talk about on the show because we may not have much opposition.
Yeah, like
that's the concern.
Well, I mean, one of the things I said last week was to pay attention to what candidates are out there earning your vote, because then if they're not concerned about earning your vote now, then they're not going to be concerned about keeping your vote. Come, if you make your vote easy to get, then they're not going to pay any attention to you because they don't have to when it comes time to represent you in the state house, because you're not paying attention to what they're doing. So that is concerning when you got people out hustling. There's sometimes I've voted for people that politically I might not agree with, but if Clay Morgan and I sat down and had a conversation about national politics, I bet we would disagree quite a bit on stuff. I'll vote for Clay Morgan about almost any time he came up because I knew that Clay cared about the community, talked to the community, represented the community. Tom Saunders is the same way, like straight ticket voting. Tom Saunders was on that because he heard us complain about it and he saw the impact of it. And sometimes he would do things that his party didn't like because he's like, this is what my voters want. He was earning people's vote every time he showed up to the state house. So you want those people. You want those kinds of people to run. But if those people are out there earning your vote and you just punch them out because they have the wrong letter next to their name, they quit.
So the last time the city of Newcastle had a election, they added a second Republican on the city council. Yep. So Mike Guffey and Lynn Perdue are the two Republicans on the city council. All of city government, so the clerk treasurer, the mayor, and is it seven seats on the city council? Like four or five wards plus a couple of at-large. Everybody's up for re-election. The interesting thing is going to be how much of a slate or how competitive and how many races are there going to be? Last time there were only three of the seven seats were actually even challenged in the city government. There were two Libertarian candidates and two and one Republican Democrat challenger. If these numbers hold true, I don't think there's a single seat that the Republicans couldn't win in city government.
Yeah, potentially
in the city of Newcastle. And that is an incredible thing to say when since the 1950s, there's been one Republican mayor in this history of the city. That's going to be very interesting to see. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but we're going to watch it on Boss Hog.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
And I think if you're watching the community, Clay Morgan is already running for mayor.
Yeah. So I don't think Mary York's had an opposition for maybe the last two cycles.
I think 8 years ago there was a three-way race.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah, but in 2019 there was not. So 2015 is the last time there was a competitive mayor's race in the town. I think that voters and particularly folks in Henry County that are upset and frustrated, there's a list of legislators that have either represented Henry County that people have relationships with, or because of redistricting, we just picked up a whole lot of new representatives in the community. Senator Mike Gaskell, who just got redistricted out of Henry County, he mentioned in a Courier Times article in 2021, when Tom Saunders was giving a presentation, I think, to the local GOP, that, hey, this couldn't get out of committee this year. In 2020, Tom Saunders had a bill that would have eliminated straight ticket voting, and it got out of committee, and it got into committee, and it died. This time it didn't even get to a vote in the committee in 21. Mike Gaskell said, hey, come to me. We'll work together, and we'll try to get it done. Obviously, Tom has retired now, but Mike Gaskell has said that he's interested in doing something with this. Gene Lysing has a relationship with many people in this community. So if you're passionate about it, call Gene Lysing. Jeff Rates, we've talked to him, and I think he's going to join us in the next month or so on the show. Hopefully we can get a night where Jeff can be here and we can have that conversation with him. I have not heard a position from Corey Criswell on this, but he's going to be representing Henry County, one of three new state representatives for Henry County. So who knows? I don't know how it's going to shake out, but there are people to talk to, and there's an avenue, and there's a bill. If you're a patron, you get the show notes dropped in, and there's actually a link to the copy of the bill. It was 2021 House Bill 1195, a copy that is clickable in the Patreon group. You can see and read what was issued there, at that time. And if people want to get involved, it's a hell of an issue.
Yeah. Yeah, even, I saw some people that said they went through the ballot and they said they just didn't vote for a person. They didn't vote a race that they weren't informed on, which is, to me, better than just straight ticket and just punching a name based on their party. So I mean, for those people that did that, I respect that opinion. Like, if they didn't know, they're like, I don't know if this one of these people is good or bad. Don't vote on that race, potentially. That's fine. I didn't vote for one person that was unopposed because I...
If they didn't earn your vote, they don't get your vote.
No, that person hasn't earned my vote, so I didn't vote for them. That was the only one I left blank. But
I still come back to there are like three ways to fix this. One, you get rid of straight ticket voting, and we join the majority of the country. Yeah. We were laggards on Sunday beer sales. We were laggards on daylight saving time, and we're laggards on getting rid of straight ticket voting. That's step one. Step two, I think the county election board can have some influence over the programming of these machines and take and take that error message off. It's not going to solve the problem, but it helps with one of the symptoms. And the third option would be, man, if you can just say, hey, you know what? This is an even larger and harder conversation, but pull that party label off anything that's below state house.
Yeah, because it honestly just doesn't matter. If you go talk to the people and have a conversation about the issues in your community, and almost without fail, national politics have nothing to do with what those people are working on day to day with your local government. It's not, that's different issues. They're working on the nuts and bolts of executing things locally.
They're trying to get your sewer to work, your roads to be paved, your trash to get picked up. That's what city government's doing. They're making sure you have nice, shiny fire trucks and you've got an EMS service and a police department.
And for the most part, they're all like, people worried about all like fiscal responsibility. They're all being pretty fiscally responsible because they get bullied by the state as to what they can and can't do. They can't go print $1 trillion for fun.
There are guardrails up like you can't believe.
Yes.
The State Board of Accounts is up everybody's butt.
Yeah. So there's not
every financial institution.
Yeah. So they're not doing anything like, yeah, they're not handing out stymie checks for fun, just printing money. They can't do that. So that doesn't even come into play. So yeah, they're doing their own thing. They're running government at a very local level. They're running government. They're just, running the finances, getting the money, getting your roads paid, fire trucks, firemen, policemen paid, stuff like that.
Parks,
yeah.
Libraries. All those exciting services. So we'll see where it goes. We're going to monitor it. It's going to be a pet issue on Boss Hog, I can guarantee it. Every time somebody sits down that's running for a statewide office, we're going to have that conversation with them. And now that some people are going to take the oath of office, maybe they'll be willing to sit down and talk with us.
Yeah, maybe they will. You'll get a response. Aaron thinks that your comment about the sewer sounds personal.
God, I don't even know. I don't remember how much we've shared on the show, but we've got, there's a flaw in the matrix.
You're working on a pool in your front yard now too.
I have the most lush green grass in my front yard of all of white estates.
I remember laughing once. That during like a drought-ish type, there used to be a county. I used to run Main Street past your neighborhood and would just run all the way until it tees and then turn left. And then that was a loop. I'd just come back. And there was a house along there that I was young and like I lived in the city my whole life. So I'm not super versed on septic systems and sewer systems, but they had a septic and you could tell where their septic exactly where the fingers were because that grass was lush and green, and the rest of their yard was not.
Yeah, it's I don't even know. It's so new and so raw, Zach, that I just got the grass to grow back, man. This is the first year that my grass looked good.
And it came back a little more aggressively than you planned.
It needs to get dug up. You look at it and you go, well, maybe it's just the new grass seed that looks so good, you know?
So good, yeah.
And then you think, No, it's just getting, we're in a drought and it's getting watered. So somewhere 2, 3, 4 feet down, I think there's some sort of a coupling or a rupture. And
on your brand new sewer system.
I mean, it's as a community, it belongs to all of us, I think. It's on the other side of my sewer pump. So it's downstream. It's the, I don't know how it's going to shake out. All right. I think we're at final thoughts. You can share your final thoughts. I'll get into mine. We'll let you go to your other desk over there to do some.
Oh, I can't even think of it. If I've got much of anything, the weather's about to turn.
Today, this is the last warm day. It was like 70 degrees today. And then if you look at the 5-day forecast, the 10-day forecast, doesn't matter. There's not a night where it's
below. I think you sent me a 5-day forecast like earlier in the week, and I drew a line at tonight. I put fall on the left, winter on the right. Yeah. It just arrives. Luckily without storms. I'll say that. We're not getting storms. We're going to get some rain tomorrow. But yeah, it's what the lows can be, 24 degrees. Camper got winterized. It was like, ooh, I better hustle and get that done. But yeah, today I was out. I mowed my leaves. It's so satisfying to mow your leaves because you don't pile them up. They just disappear into your yard. And so I did that for 2 yards.
I might flush mine. They'll just end up back in the yard anyway.
Yeah, that's the circle of life. That is the circle of life right there. Just open up your cap and just dump them in and just let them go
just
up.
Just turn my grinder pump on.
Yeah.
And let them puree back out into the yard.
I mean, I mowed a pile of leaves today. I like had to jack the back of the mower or pop it up in the front and just drop it on a pile of leaves. But so hope everybody got to enjoy the weather today because it's over until spring, apparently. So yeah, other than that, I don't think I have. It's been a long day, so I don't know if I remember any other.
How many days do you have to work this week?
Two.
It's been.
I worked tough. Monday and I worked Wednesday, but I'll say this:
semi-retirement for you.
Yeah, and then I have to work 5 days next week. Rough, and then I work 2 days the next week after that too. So I work, but it's like long 2 days because I make up the time. Like, so I have a schedule where I work a longer than normal day and I get every other Friday off. And we get our holiday. Our holiday is a standard day. So I have to make up the difference or burn my own time. I never burn time. So I work 10 hours. So I went right into daylight savings time, back to walking out. And just as I see the sun disappear behind the horizon, by the time I get home, it's dark. And then there was a wreck on 70 yesterday in the construction. And it shut it down.
Were you on it?
No, but I took one back way. And then Waze said, get back on at Mount Comfort. You can't get on 70 going east at Mount Comfort at all.
It shut down.
I don't know what Waze was thinking. But it was also still backed up there at Mount Comfort. So it wanted me to drive it. So I had to turn around and go back the other way. And I finally got to Greenfield. But it was a weird thing. I got on Greenfield and I look in the rearview mirror and there's nobody coming. Because it's closed behind me. And bizarrely,
you have the interstate all to
due
yourself.
To traffic patterns, I passed two cars that were in front of me on the ramp. In front of me, there was nobody again. For like, it took me 15 minutes to catch another car. The other direction, however, was a parking lot. But so yeah, my normal 40-minute drive took an hour and 15 minutes or something like that. Yeah, it was like 6:45 before I got home. So I had a long 2 days. But yeah, I can't complain.
It's good to be Zach.
Yeah.
I will be working, selling materials for the old... We'll send you back to the other desk. We'll wind it down. We need some music for Zach to be able to go back to his other job. I'll be building America tomorrow, still working hard, doing what I'm supposed to do. We did enjoy our weekend with the Boss Hog crew, I think Andrew Bowman was there with us last weekend at Starve Hollow. Your brother Jared, our buddy Rusty, who's been a Boss Hog alum, Rusty Eckstein from Mount Comfort RV. He came out and joined us for the last spectacular camping weekend of the year. My personal goal is to get my camper out at least once in every calendar month, but I do need that weather to cooperate with me at some point because it's too much of a pain in the ass to camp when it's 25 degrees outside. I'm excited about it. The lovely Sarah Potter Morrill, not so excited about 25 degree camping. So I need a burst of like 55 degree days to be able to do that in December, January, or February. But yeah, maybe
it could happen. Yeah, the weather is kind of unseasonable cold the next week or so. Because yeah, there's times where Thanksgiving it's like 65 degrees.
The holidays are what gets in the way. Like it's, I know it won't be until after Thanksgiving. So I've camped in November, so now I need to have like that December 15th, 16th, whatever, right in there. I need that to be like a magical 70-degree weekend, and I could do it.
New Year's would be a killer weekend to camp, actually. And New Year's this year is a Sunday. So it's Saturday night, I believe. So it's you get a – in my case, I get a holiday the day after. So I get 2 days to recover from the party, which is usually me going to bed at like 10:30 or 11.
The other quirk of the calendar is that New Year's Day – by the way, this is final thoughts if you're paying attention at home. New Year's Day this year, if you guys are looking at your calendars, New Year's Day is on an NFL Sunday. So not only will you have like the Rose Bowl game
a full slate of NFL football.
You'll have your actual Sunday NFL games as well. I think the Colts are playing the Giants on New Year's Day. And then there's still another game to go after that. So we'll see. And then after that, Jeff Saturday will probably be named head coach of the Colts. And we'll see what happens. All right. With that, we need to say thank you so much to our sponsors for the candidate series. This is going to wrap up the candidate series for 2022 and the election series, I guess we'll call it. Weiland's Flowers, the Slick Pickle, and Big Bounce Inflatables. You guys are awesome. You've been there since the very beginning with us. Hopefully we'll have Dakota back next week. I know he had a hellacious day today, keeping the lights on for everybody. But maybe we'll all be reunited next week. With that, we say thank you very much, and we will catch you next Thursday.